Hello, and welcome to Draw, Lose or Draw, a podcast covering all things Partick Thistle. On today's special episode, we are going to preview the Partick Thistle Women's Team's Sky Sports Cup Final on Sunday. First up, I was joined by Tom Hosey and Vinnie Ferguson to reflect on the women's team's sensational run to the final. Joining me to preview Sunday's Sky Sports Cup final against Rangers, we have Tom Hosey. Tom, are you well?
I'm very well, thank you. Looking forward to having a chat about something I've been looking forward to since the full-time whistle sounded in the semi-final against Hibs. It's been a long time coming, but it's nearly here, and I can't wait.
It nearly is here, and also join me, Vinnie Ferguson. Vinnie, how are you?
I'm very well, Matt. Thanks for having me on again.
No problem at all. We're going to start our preview with looking back on Thistle's run to the final, and it started back in October with a 2-0 win over Spartans. This one, just looking back at the fixture list, I think this win particularly impressive because the two games previous to this one, we actually lost to Spartans in the league and then we were beaten quite heavily, 6-1 against Hearts in the league. So to come back with a 2-0 win over Spartans, particularly impressive on this day, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember an awful lot about it, to be honest. I remember being a bit apprehensive because Spartans had beaten us at Petershill on that particularly wild Petershill night, even wild by Petershill standards, if memory serves me correctly. So yeah, I think it was a wee bit of anxiety going into it. Do Spartans have a wee bit of an Indian sign over us? But I remember it being very comfortable. It was, you know, I think the winning, we were comfortable winners. It could have been a lot more than what it actually was.
Vinny, you get any recollections of this one?
Yeah, I think Tom's got it spot on. I shared his apprehension pre-match because of the previous result. Yeah, and we weren't on terrific form at the time, but it was comfortable in the end, which was great.
The quarterfinal then in the next month in November, perhaps not so comfortable against Montrose at a 2-1 win. Vinny, I'll start with you. Any memories of this one?
Yeah, again, and you know, a wee bit of apprehension because Montrose coming up. This year they were a wee bit unknown. I've talked about this at length that you know, they really impressed last year in their own league and nobody really knew what they were going to do. And if memory serves, they'd had quite a few good results. Round about then they'd run Hearts really close. I think they'd lost a last minute goal to them to lose. It was just another one of these days where you're not sure about the opposition and how they're going to turn up. But we saw it through, which was a great relief. And then by that point, you're thinking there's a wee cup run starting.
Tom, it was two late goals against Montrose from Rachel Donaldson and an Imogen Longcake. How big a relief was that when we were 1-0 down with about 15 minutes to go in that game?
Oh, massive relief. We simply didn't play at all well that day. You know, I think Montrose scored round about the hour mark, maybe a wee bit after that. And I think at the time they were probably good value for it. And I do remember thinking when that went in, yeah, we're not getting out of this. This is the first time since we've come up. We've come into a game we were expected to win. We haven't really performed and we're going to lose. What I didn't kind of factor in was just the sheer battling qualities of them. And they really got the job done. They're kind of back in football cliches here, but they got the job done when they weren't playing well. And that is, you know, a mark of a good side. I think once we got the equaliser, I was relatively confident that we'd go on to win, albeit I thought it might go to extra time. But once Rachel scored and then Imogen popped up 2-3 minutes after that, you know, it was a tremendous sense of relief just getting it over the line. And I think after we won that game, it was, right, who are we going to get in the semi-final? Please, please let's get a favourable draw in the semi-final. And if at all possible, could we get that at Petershill Park, please?
Well, I think we did get a favourable draw in the semi-final, although it's still probably the toughest tie we've faced so far. A memorable afternoon up at as you mentioned earlier, Tom, a very blustery and wet and cold Petershill Park, a busy Petershill Park as well, Tom. A 2-0 win over Hibernian in the semi-final. Just how good a day was that?
It's up there, actually. I mean, I've been watching Thistle since 1977. And I mean this, I'm not talking nonsense or trying to talk this up. It's genuinely up there as one of my favourite ever Thistle victories. Petershill, it's a small ground, it's a tight ground. So when you've got 600 plus people in the ground, as we did that afternoon, all under that wee roof, it was a phenomenal atmosphere. It was a really tense afternoon, but it was a great, great day. I think perhaps the weather maybe favoured us on the day. That combined with the kind of the narrowness of Petershill Park. I mean, it was especially windy. One that it kind of sticks in my mind is we had a long debate about whether we were going to put out the advertising hoardings. It was that windy that we were a genuine fear that they would break free, and I know it would just be our luck, is it? Player would be clean through and goal about to score and would be hit by a flying Jags Foundation advertising board. That would just be our luck. So, yeah, so we decided not to go with the boards, just on safety grounds, so it gives you an idea of how wet and windy it was. But it was a really disciplined performance. You know, it wasn't a victory that relied on the conditions, though some people at Hibs might like you to believe that that was the case. But no, it was a really disciplined, controlled performance, and a richly, richly deserved 2-0 win.
Absolutely. It was, as you say, a totally disciplined performance, but two spectacular goals to win it from Lindsay Taylor and Rosie Slater. Vinny, if memory serves, you couldn't make this match, but what was it like following it from afar? I'm sure you were keeping a keen eye on it.
Yeah, it was actually my son's 8th birthday, my middle son, who features on the Partick Thistle Women calendar for February, actually. Yes, so it was his birthday party, so as soon as the dates came out, I knew I wouldn't be able to make the game, you know, for good reason. But we made it back to my in-laws' house to watch the game in its entirety on telly. And there's always a debate about whether it's easier or harder watching from a distance. As you know, I try and behave myself on match days when I've got the mic, but there's the odd shout and whatnot. You make your feelings known. And I think the in-laws certainly heard my feelings that day. It was it's torturous at times, but as soon as Rosie Slater's shot hits the net, you're thinking we're going to do this. Even when you know, Hibs hit the bar, and you know, with about 10 minutes to go, and you think, looking back, I'm like, why was I so relaxed about that? Because if that goes in, then there's a really interesting final few minutes of the game. But it was you know, you guys have said it, a disciplined performance. Thought the weather was horrendous, but it made for a really interesting game. It was great fun to watch, and just delighted that we made it.
Just looking at Thistle's results, we're obviously playing Rangers, that 2-0 win set up a final, an eagle away to final against Rangers. And the Thistle women's team, we've spoke about this before on previous podcasts, sitting at a really interesting place in the sort of landscape of the women's game in Scotland, whereas there's five full-time teams and Thistle are the best part-time team for the last 18 months, you'd say. And they're sort of pushing full-time teams as well. Like they've beaten Hibs three times this season, who are a full-time team. Looking against the results against Rangers this season, a 1-0 defeat in September, and then a goalless draw recently, which could have been even more. On paper, though, the results against the sort of big three, Glasgow City, Rangers and Celtic, aren't great, but how much has that gap closed in the last couple of seasons, Vinny? Particularly against Rangers in the last couple of meetings.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the 0-0 was excellent, but I think, you know, that 1-0, you know, very narrow defeat at Broadwood earlier this season, I felt was a bit of a turning point for us. I think, you know, Brian's favourite word, belief. I think there was real belief in the squad after that game, because we gave them a really, really difficult time. So I think, you know, the gap is closing. You know, Amy Bullock has had an interview out this week. I'm sure it's with How's Your Touch. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong. And she talks about how, you know, it was a great experience last year, but we're really going to play our part in these last 10 games of the season. So the gap is closing. And I think that game in September that you mentioned in particular was a real turning point for us.
Do you agree, Tom? How much more confident are you of getting a positive outcome on Sunday than you would have been, say, a year ago or 2 years ago?
I think the way to look at it is it was 2 seasons ago that we got to the semi-final of the Scottish Cup and we played Glasgow City, and I think we went into that game with no real expectation. It was almost getting to the semi-final in itself was the achievement. Fast forward 2 years, it's the final. This time not a semi-final, it's the final of the Sky Sports Cup. And yes, I think we recognise that Rangers are big, big favourites. Yes, we recognise it's going to be a really, really difficult game. But getting there isn't the achievement. This time we're actually going there and we believe, that word again, belief. We believe we're capable of competing and we believe that we can win the cup. Yes, it's going to be a tough one. Yes, Rangers are huge favourites. So, yeah, much more confident. Confidence, maybe not the right word, but I didn't believe that we were going to beat Glasgow City in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup. I do genuinely believe, if the circumstances are right, that we can beat Rangers in the Sky Sports Cup final. I genuinely believe that.
Who do you think will be the key players for Thistle then, Tom, if they are to go on to get a positive result? Who are the really important players that need to have a good day?
I think all 11 that Brian picks to start the game, they're all going to have to be at the top of their game. But where I think we are really quite strong, I think we're really strong defensively. You know, we've played 3 hours of football against Rangers this season and they've scored one goal. I mean, Rangers score goals for fun in this division. And they've managed one against us. That's because we've defended really, really well against them. So the defence will have to be at the top of the game. I thought when we played Celtic a couple of weeks ago, we gave Celtic more problems in the final third than we'd ever done previously. But we made a few stupid mistakes at the back and we got really punished for that. So we'll need to not do that. Need to make sure there's no silly mistakes, no lapses of concentration. But if the defence can do their job, that gives us the base, you know, to kind of do something really quite special. But to not answer your question, I think all of them that Brian picks are all going to have to play their part, all going to have to be at the top of their game. And I've no reason to expect it will be anything other than at the top of their game.
No, I agree. Vinny, is there anyone you're particularly looking forward to seeing, anyone who's particularly impressed you over the course of another really successful season?
Tom mentioned it there about the resolute defence we've had. I think Rosie Slater's player of the season, to be honest. I think from someone who was in and out the team, you know, at right back, left back, when Cheryl McCulloch picked up her injury, and Leah Robinson had stepped in, did really well. But Leah's obviously had her injury problems this year, and Rosie Slater has cemented her place in that defence next to Demi Faulkner. I think she's had a phenomenal season. The defence will be absolutely crucial, but now might be the time to publicly share the dream that I had a few weeks ago, where I was at the game at Pinecastle. I can describe the goals and everything, but basically there's a corner, a bit of a scuffle, and Amy Bullock from the edge of the box sort of sclaffs a shot, and it bounces about everywhere, but it ends up in the back of the net. Mad scenes. But before I've even got back in my seat, Rangers have equalised, unfortunately. And then I can tell you it's in the 78th minute. It's a corner kick from our right-hand side. It's an outswinger, and it's well worked. And it's Imogen Longcake at the near post glances a shot in. So it's a low corner, and she glances it in with the inside of her foot to the far corner to make it 2-1, and we win the cup. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
I'm sure everybody of a red and yellow persuasion would certainly take that. Dreams aside, Vinny, what sort of game are you expecting? Are you expecting a sort of tight game similar to the league games? Are you expecting a more open battle? You know, Tynecastle is a bigger pitch, I would imagine, than Petershill. And it's an interesting point Tom made earlier, which I agree with, that Thistle do particularly well at Petershill when maybe the elements aren't so kind, and it gets a bit gusty. Do you think the venue of Tynecastle will have a bearing on the game and the way it goes?
Yeah, of course they will. And yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, it's going to be an incredibly tough game. And yeah, I can see us going with that change of shape that we did for the game at Petershill. for me, the fear is that it's a much larger pitch at Tynecastle. Petershill is very, very tight. Everyone talks about that, and we make it work for ourselves. But, you know, having said that, Brian Graham's no daft. Ross Stormont is not daft. You know, they've got their high end coaching badges, and they've had plenty of time to prepare for this game, so they'll have a game plan.
I was going to ask you both for predictions, Vinny. I guess you're going with your dream. You're going to stick with that.
Yep, 2-1 Jags.
Excellent. A prediction from you, Tom.
Well, first of all, I'm glad it's not just me that has had dreams about the Sky Sports Cup final. I've had a few of them over the last few weeks. Not as detailed as Vinny's, I have to say, but they do involve Thistle scoring goals. I probably have a few more dreams between now and a week on Sunday. In terms of production, if you only have to look at the draw, lose or draw production table, let's see how good I am at this. But
go for a Rangers win then, Tom.
if I went for a Rangers win, it would guarantee us lifting the cup and would go for it. But I just can't allow myself to do it. So I'm going to go 1-0 Thistle. And I think the goal is going to come in the 88th minute. It's going to be scored by Rachel Donaldson, and it's going to be a 25-yard belter. And, yep, you're probably not going to see me sober for about a week afterwards if that happens.
Well, humble brag. I'm top of the predictions table, Tom. But I'll mirror you as well to almost guarantee it happening. I'll go for a 1-0 Thistle victory. Vinny and Tom, thank you very much for joining me this evening. And I will see you at Tynecastle.
Friday on Saturday, my program's in my hand, with my scarf of red and yellow in the Jackie husband's band.
On Thursday, David was lucky enough to speak to two key figures from the Thistle camp. First up, it's semi-final goal scorer Rosie Slater.
So Rosie, cup final on Sunday, how's preparations going for yourself?
Everything's been going well this week. Everyone's really looking forward to the game, so we're just waiting for it to come round now, and hopefully we can get a positive result.
So have you been doing any more extra training, or has it just been sort of the same schedule?
We've tried to keep it the same as usual, just to keep things ticking over as normal, not really changing anything, so we'll see how it goes.
So this is right. Is this your first cup final? I know you were with Rangers before.
Yeah, it's my first senior final, so I'm really looking forward to it. So who knows? It might be my only chance ever. So hopefully, it'll be one to remember.
Yeah, definitely. Did you ever think you'd get to this point of being in a cup final? Like, you know, obviously, like as a kid, you play about in the park, you know, pretending you're in the Scottish Cup final, League Cup, whatever. What's it like for you?
It is a dream of everyone really to play in front of a big crowd, and especially at a big stadium as well. So I would say it is a dream of everyone's to try and reach that final stage, but to lift the trophy would be even better.
Obviously your family are quite notable for coming along with the tambourine. How are you going to hear the tambourine at Tynecastle in the big stadium?
Might need a megaphone or something next to it. But having my family there is really special, and they're there every week cheering me on, so I couldn't really ask for anything more from them. But they're really supportive and definitely my number one fans, but I'm sure I'll see them and hear them at some point.
You could be sitting in Easter Road at a tambourine and you'd still hear them, I think.
Oh,
so. But so like, what's it like with your family leading up to it? Is there like a lot of excitement? Are they doing anything for it? You know, what are they?
I think they're making a day of it as well. On Sunday they're heading to Edinburgh early doors, so we'll see if they make it to the ground or not. But nah, I'm sure they will. But my wee cousins and that are really excited, and they're looking forward to it as well as all my other family members as well. So we'll hopefully give them a good performance and one for them to remember.
What are you thinking about the game? How do you think it's going to go? Obviously, you used to be with Rangers and stuff like that. Is that difficult for yourself, you know, playing a former club? Or
I suppose it is kind of on your mind. You want to go and prove yourself, but my full focus is with Partick Thistle now, so that's what I'm focusing on, and focusing on the task at hand on Sunday, and hopefully we can go and get a really good result and get our hands on the trophy.
And how much confidence did you take from the obviously the 0-0 a couple of weeks ago against Rangers at Petershill? How did that help you in terms of, like, did it make you more confident? What did you take from that going into this?
I think it definitely made us more confident. I think the draw with Rangers a couple of weeks ago was obviously a big result for us. Getting a point against one of the top three sides was something we've been wanting to achieve for a wee while now. So to get that done was a positive for us, and hopefully we'll take that into the final and have more confidence, and hopefully we can turn it into a win this time.
And obviously going into the split, I mean, top six for our second season, what for Thistle fans, that's a huge, huge thing for us. I mean, we always talk about getting top six in 2016-17, and now you've done it twice. Like, what's the next sort of, where do you go from there? Like, obviously you've got the split coming up. What are your hopes and expectations for that and for next season?
I think for the split this year, we want to try and get more points on the board. That would be a positive and a step in the right direction for us, definitely. And then even if we could push to try and finish top four or top five is our next aim. So if we could achieve that this season, it'd be a really good positive season for us. We've got Hearts at home, I might say, next in the league. So obviously they put us out of the cup a couple of weeks ago now, which was disappointing for us. But it was still a good game, and hopefully if we go next weekend, we can put out a positive performance again and try and get 3 points.
Yeah, the Hearts and Hibs, they're very much their natural rivals. There seems to be like sort of Rangers, Celtic, Glasgow City, and then others, Hearts and Hibs. And like the Hibs games have been very good in terms of a good rivalry. Do you get more up for the Hearts and Hibs games because it's sort of your peer, if you know what I mean, like in terms of at the same time? Like,
probably a wee bit. There's a wee bit of a more edge to that games, but we take every game as it comes, and obviously we want to try and get 3 points in every game. So yeah, we want to try and go into those games and get 3 points. That's our aim going into any game. So try and get points off of those two Edinburgh sides and try and get us above them in the league is our next aim to try and achieve. I think we are a really close group, and everyone's just buzzing for the final, and any issues, everyone's there for everyone and at any point. So even if it's just a text or a phone call, anyone's there to listen and just to rile everyone up for the final, and hopefully we can make it a good one.
And picture the scene, 95th minute, you're through in goal, you've got Cara Hendo to your left. Are you shooting or are you passing to Cara?
I'd love to have my name in that limelight, so I think I'd have to shoot and try and score myself, but if I missed, then I'd never hear the end of it off of Hendo, so
give it to Hendo and let her get the
maybe,
flag.
Maybe.
And a question that we ask everybody on the podcast, we've asked 1971 League Cup winners, we've asked everyone, how many bites does it take you to eat a cream egg?
Oh, I've never really thought about that before. I'm going to just say three. I think that's a decent amount.
Enough bites to enjoy it, but yeah, you're not messing about one. With it. Yeah, exactly.
Next up, I was joined by Kieran Toohey, the Partick Thistle women's team's commentator, to hear his recollection of the cup run before hearing about his preparations for the big match.
Forget the Celtic, forget the Rangers, we are Partick Thistle and we're on our way to first class football. We are no strangers, because we are Thistle and we're doing.
I am now joined by Partick Thistle's women's team's lead commentator, Kieran Toohey. Kieran, thanks very much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm not bad. Thanks for having me on again. I thoroughly enjoyed it last time, so pleasure to be back on.
It's good to have you back on, Kieran. We've spoken to Vinny and we've spoken to Tom about the women's run to the cup final. What were those games like to commentate on from your point of view?
Oh, what a run it has been. You can't look past that last game against Hibs. Just the atmosphere at Petershill Park, everything in it, I loved it. It really got me to a different level. I think I'm still... I had a guy come up to me in the nightclub saying, are you the guy who commentated that Rosie Slater goal? Because he was a Thistle Women's fan and he recognised my voice when I was chatting to him. So I think that just shows how big this run has been, that I've got random guys coming up to me in the middle of nowhere saying, are you that commentator?
Obviously, the Hibs game is the sort of standout game with the packed Petershill. But Kieran, looking back, the run began with a comfortable win over Spartans. What are your memories of that game?
Yeah, Spartans was a really good game. I found it to be one of those games where you kind of knew into it. We'd lost just the previous week, and it was just one of those games where they knew that they had to come out and make a statement. Cara Henderson, Lindsay Taylor both scored, which just seems to be what seems to happen these days in the Cup. I think Lindsay Taylor has been my standout player of this Cup run. So underrated in that Thistle squad. Spartans kicked it off, and I thought from then, we've got a really good chance of going far in this tournament.
You mentioned Lindsay Taylor there, Kieran. Who else has stood out for you on this Cup run and in general for Thistle this season? Who have been the standout players for you?
Oof, that's a tricky question. I'd say this is the best Thistle squad I've seen since I started working with the squad, with the team. I know that it's only been about a year and a half now, but the transition period from that, even now, I think it was only a year ago on Tuesday when we're recording this that we secured top six on that final day against Dundee United. The difference between that squad and this squad, and no disrespect to that squad last season because they were absolutely incredible, it's just such a big transition. I mean, this Cup run, the best players for me, Rosie Slater, I can't say anything bad about her in this run. Especially that last game against Hibs where she had Yuri and Bochum, who's always causing such a danger in this league. She kept her at bay so easily. Demi Faulkner at the back with her. That partnership has been so incredibly solid. It should kill me if I didn't mention Cara Henderson. She might not have got the goals. I mean, of course she has scored against Spartans, but she's so underrated because she's setting up the chances and she's maybe not finding that final touch, but she's creating it. She's really making defences fear her, I think. It's been definitely, those have been the standout players for me, as well as Lindsay Taylor, who I mentioned as well.
The next game on the run, Kieran, was an exciting one. A comeback victory over Montrose with two late goals. I imagine that must have been pretty thrilling to commentate on.
Montrose is, I say that Hibs has been my favourite game of the Cup run. Actually, Montrose is a really close, I know we've only had three, but it's a really close second because of just the circumstances around it. The first half was so sluggish and groggy. I mean, we'd went to Montrose a few weeks beforehand and we absolutely annihilated them. I think it was 5-0. And then they come to Peter's Hill Park for this Cup game and it's a completely different side. I remember them tweeting about me at half-time in the words of the Thistle commentator, "This is a completely different Montrose side." And then they go and score. And I thought, oh no, this is where the Cup run ends. And then, of course, two goals in a matter of minutes, very late on. Rachel Donaldson, Imogen Longcake, the super subs. And what was funny is that one of the Montrose players' dads was in the comment section of our live stream and he kept calling me a clown and other phrases that perhaps aren't quite family friendly for this channel because I spoke about Montrose packing it in from genuinely about the 58th minute. I said how that wasn't good in the game. And then we go make it 2-1, take our time a bit more. He's like, this is a hypocritical this, that and the next thing. But nah, that was a great game to commentate on.
I wouldn't worry about family-friendly language on this podcast. The Hibs game then, you've mentioned that as the highlight of the Cup run. You've obviously got a very early in your young and promising commentary career, but where does that rank in games you've had the pleasure of commentating on so far?
Very top, honestly. See, just arriving at Peter's Hill that day, I arrived a bit early to try and get some content beforehand, and you just seen the look in the eyes of some of our players, and you could see the hunger and the desire. It wasn't like they thought, oh, can we maybe do it? It was, no, we're doing this. I spoke to Abby Ferguson before the game. She seemed riled up for it. And I spoke to her after the game. Obviously, she was playing for Hibs and she lost. There was obviously the touching moment between her and Brian. And I said to her, you were the only one that really worried me from that game from a Hibs point of view. I think that we were just superior on every part of that pitch. Even from, I don't even think they really troubled us at goal. I mean, Bochum hit hit the bar, I believe, in like the final moments, but that was about it. We were just on top consistently. A clear denial of a penalty on Lindsay Taylor. Still find Eddie's face afterwards a bit. Karma is a real thing, clearly, because she kind of laughed at her for falling, then went and got two really careless yellow cards before half time. I'll go back to Rosie Slater's goal, though. That is up. That is what I'm known for around my friends, my family right now, in terms of my commentating. I went to a five-a-side game the Monday afterwards, and they were all shouting whenever I went to take a long shot, and there was Rosie Slater. So I think that just sums up everything about that game, especially from my point of view. It was just absolutely incredible to be there and to be part of that history-making moment.
In terms of the final, then, how much does it help you to prepare for it that we've already had a couple of games against Rangers this season in terms of, you know, I know because I sat next to you in co-commentary one of the earlier games this season that you put a lot of prep work into, not just researching Thistle players and their stats, but the opposition as well. So how much does a couple of meetings with Rangers already this season help you?
Rangers is probably our best option in terms of finding out information because they're a big team. They've got high-profile players, so it's easier for me to find stats on Rangers than it has been pretty much for any other team. I'm annoyed, though, because we've obviously got that historic draw against them, which we should have had won just a few weeks ago, and I wasn't commentating that because I was down south for the weekend visiting some friends, which is just typical. The level of effort that I put in is probably second to none. I go and find as much information as I possibly can, which in the women's game isn't easy. That's why I'm a bit thankful it is Rangers. I know the players, I know the formation they'll probably line up with. I know that they'll want to get it to Broken Hay. I know that Jodie McCleary off the bench will create an impact. Kirsty Howard up top's been incredible. Olivia McLaughlin's just signed on loan for them. She's been really good. It's going to be a very difficult game, but I know that we're going to go into that confident and hopefully we can bring the cup back to Glasgow.
Just on a personal note then, Kieran, obviously Tynecastle is the venue. Is this the best venue you've commentated at so far, and what other grounds are you sort of waiting to tick off the list?
Oh, by far and away, this is going to be the best ground that I've worked at in terms of commentary. I've actually only commentated at Peters Hill Park so far, but Tynecastle, definitely biggest. In terms of other grounds, I know it's not going to happen now because we're travelling to Meadowbank on Sunday when we're recording this to play Hibs. I wish we'd gone to Easter Road. I think that would have been a really nice stadium to commentate at. Celtic Park, Ibrox, Hampden, they're, you know, your big ones. Another stadium I'd like to do is probably Pittodrie. I think that's a really nice pitch. But Tynecastle is, I'm more than thankful to be able to get this opportunity at probably the third best stadium in Scotland, I'd say.
And lastly, Kieran, how do you see the match itself going?
Score prediction is difficult, yeah, because my optimistic side says that we got a draw against them last time, and where we should have won, we can go and do it again. But then the realist side of me goes, last season I commentated two matches against them and we lost 5-0. It's difficult. Yeah, I'm going to give you two different ones because optimistic, I'll give you a 1-0 Cara Henderson, we sit back, I don't care, victory. My realist opinion is that it's going to be heartbreak. It's going to be a 2-1 defeat for us, but a very tight game.
I hope your optimistic prediction comes true. I know 1-0 is a sort of popular scoreline, as is 2-1 Thistle as well. A narrow Thistle win seems to be the consensus of the Dreamers. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, Kieran, and we look forward to, well, I think most of us will be at the game, but we look forward to hearing your voice on the commentary when we all watch and listen back. Kieran, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Next up, David caught up with Thistle manager Brian Graham.
So obviously, a cup final on Sunday. How's it been? How's the preparations been for yourself?
Obviously, my week to week varies. I'm a very busy man, but this week it's been crazy. It's been really busy. It's been mentally draining at times. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say it's not, because we did a feature with Sky Sports on Tuesday. They were at my house at 6:45 in the morning. They spent the day with me. Started off with my usual routine in the morning, walking the dog, and then they did the school run with me, followed me in here, came to training with me, spent the afternoon with me, and then came to the women's training at night. So that was a long day. And then Wednesday, obviously, we had the media through at Tynecastle for the preparations for Sunday. And then today, it's obviously training this morning with the guys, and then doing media again this afternoon, go home. I've actually got an appointment with the vet for my dog's booster jag at 2:30, and then I'll need to go and pick the kids up for school, and then back to training the night. So it's a very busy lifestyle, but it's one that I became used to over the last couple of years, and it's not really been affecting me on the pitch, because I feel as if I've been getting better on the pitch, so long may that continue.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of the training, have you been able to, has the gaffer been a bit more lenient with you in training or this week, because you've obviously been training for the women's final as well, or have you?
No, the gaffer knows that I've still got a role here, first and foremost. Let's know, this is my job. Mm-hmm. This is my full-time job, and I wouldn't have it any other way. That's my mental priority at times, is the men's side. Don't get me wrong, I love doing the women's side, but the mentality shifts from a Saturday to a Sunday. Sunday's my full focus on the women. And obviously when I'm there at training, there is a lot of preparations in between, and I do spend a lot of time with my assistant manager on the phone getting things done. But when I'm in the building at Fir Hill, it's fully focused on Partick Thistle men's side. And then when I'm out of the building, when I've got some free time, then it's all about the women. So my life just I've always around football, and that's why I've enjoyed the game as a young kid, because I've always wanted to be involved in it.
When you came to Thistle, was this something that you had envisaged? Did you always want to become a coach with Thistle, or how did it come about when you became the women's coach? Did you put yourself forward, or was it kind of a...
To be honest with you, like, I always wanted to be a manager, but at the same time, I couldn't be bothered with the coaching badges.
Right.
I just being honest and upfront, I couldn't be bothered with them. But once I came in, it was a couple of weeks later, the women's team didn't have a manager. I think it was Ian McCall, it used to be Beth upstairs. I think Brian would be really good at that role. So it just came out of the blue. Then I had a conversation with Beth. I thought about my age, thought about going through my badges. And from there, it just spiralled. Ended up taking the job and won my first game against Queen's Park, and I've never looked back after that.
Hell yeah. And in terms of the training going into the cup final, well, one thing I wanted to ask is, obviously you've got a good perspective of cup finals, because you've came on and you've changed games.
Yep.
In this League Cup final and obviously a Challenge Cup final, Ross County.
Yep.
How does having those experiences affect you in terms of when you're picking your team, and you obviously have to do player management?
It's quite funny, because when the first cup final was in, we Dundee United in the Scottish Cup, Jackie McNamara, he was going to name a team at training, he was going to name it at lunchtime, then he was going to name it at tea time. We never named a team until the Saturday when we got to Parkhead. But that's a full-time environment. We are part-time, so I will not name my team until we probably arrive at the stadium. Mm-hmm. On Sunday. Everybody needs to prepare as if it's a normal game. Everybody comes ready to start the game. And then once I pick the team, obviously the girls disappointed that they're not starting, but that's the harsh reality of football at times. And me and my assistant will believe that we've picked the right team to go and try and win the cup for Partick Thistle. But at the same time, it might be 0-0 for a long period of time, and you might need a substitute to come on and score your winner. So it's all about your full squad. It's not about individuals, it's about the collective. It's in it together, as we've said for day dot, and that's the way we've got to look at it.
And obviously with the Rangers game, the 0-0 against them a couple of weeks ago, which we should have won, really. It should have been 1-0. But how much confidence did you take from that? Like, how have you been able to use that going into the cup final?
Even the game we got beat 1-0 at Broadwood, I thought we were excellent. I thought we were really good against them, especially on a big pitch. I know Tynecastle will be bigger than Peters Hill. I thought there's going to be spells in the game where you're going to be under pressure. That's the same in any football. And they fit on us because they're full time, potentially. But my girls have worked really hard since pre-season, and that's why they've got the rewards where they are. Top six again in a cup final. We try and act as a full time club, even though we're part time, which is a difficult time, because if you're asking the girls maybe on a Monday to go into a gym session when they're working, sometimes it can't be done. But if, to be fair, a couple of them, Amy Bullock, Rosie Slater, they would go into the Nuffield on a Monday morning, then they both would go to their work. So their application and their desire and hard work to try and fulfil their role is incredible.
In terms of Tynecastle, what obviously it's a bigger pitch than Petershill and quite a few of the grounds that you normally play at. Like, what preparations have you done to kind of cope with that? Is that, have you done anything special for it?
No, we were hoping to train on Firhill tonight, but because of the weather, the pitch is a bit soggy, so we don't want to put the girls on the big heavy pitch, don't want to take out their legs, so we'll just train as normal at Petershill.
In terms of, obviously, the game on Saturday with Arbroath, I mean, you scored your first goal for us against Arbroath, didn't you?
It was horrendous.
It was horrendous.
Well, to be fair, that was the day where it opened my eyes to what was in at Partick Thistle, because I was just in the door on the Friday, I trained one session, we get there, the wind's blowing a gale, Tam Aware was captain at the time, wow. And I told him, win the toss, we take the wind. He wins the toss and goes against the wind. So right at that stage, I knew me and him weren't going to get on.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was just a ludicrous decision to go against the wind. We couldn't get out, we were 2-0 down. And the game was kind of gone by then. I scored late on in my debut, but I think he loses his man for one of the goals and he comes in shouting, who's picking who? Not Tam, it's you. Stop trying to pass the buck, mate. Just, I don't like that. I like honest players that if you make a mistake, sorry lads, apologise and we move on. No try to pass the buck. So that was my first experience at Gayfield.
My vivid memory of that is a guy behind, like, on the sort of advertising hoardings, screaming at Scott Fox to hit it the other way because he kept hitting it and it just kept.
He was coming to the dugout.
Yeah, he was just like absolutely screaming, like, don't you understand wind? Like, just, it was a terrible game. But like in terms of Arbroath, obviously they joke about the wind machine in Costa del Gayfield. Like, yeah. Well, first of all, how do you think it's going to go on Saturday? And
when we hit with, listen, when you're playing Arbroath, you do look at the forecast and it's supposed to be, the wind machine's supposed to be on, so it might not be the prettiest of games. It might be the game where you need to roll up your sleeves and go and pick up 3 points by hook or by crook. I thought we were excellent. Our team effort and work on Saturday was very good. We'll need to take that in abundance into our Arbroath game. I know they're bottom of the league, but it doesn't matter. At Gayfield, it's, you've seen they beat Raith Rovers recently. Championship's mental. Anybody can beat anybody, so you cannot take the game lightly. And it's a game where we need to win because we need to stay in these playoff spots.
Definitely. And also for yourself, I'm fearful to see a goal tally because I remember that you pulled Michael Max up for it. But what tally are you on now for goals?
74.
You know, obviously you're getting closer and closer to 100. Is that something that you'd like to do? Like,
of course it would. Don't get me wrong, it would be great if I could get 100 goals for Partick Thistle. Let's not kid ourselves. I don't think anybody would imagine that I scored the amount of goals I did when I came to Partick Thistle, so it's worked out great for both parties. It's been great for myself and my own development as a manager. It's been great for me as a player, but I would just love to get back to the Premier League, if I'm being really honest. I would love that. If I could do that in the final years of my career, that I get Partick Thistle back up, then I think that would be job done.
No, definitely. And you know, getting women's team to the cup final as well, is doing that would be, that's
incredible. And we spoke about it, like, it's the first cup final since 1971 and it's actually the girls team that have got us there, so
yeah.
They deserve a lot of credit, they deserve a lot of plaudits. They've been absolutely incredible and everything me and Ross have been asking of them, so I still don't think they get the plaudits they deserve from outside. I'm not meaning Partick Thistle here, I'm meaning collectively from the wider football environment. People don't understand the amount of hours these girls are putting in, hard work, especially going to their work and then turning up for me 3 nights a week. So there's bumps along the road, but that's football. There's highs, there's lows, but fingers crossed Sunday can be almighty high.
What was your understanding of Partick Thistle before you came, and how has it changed? Like, how has it grown on you? Like,
my understanding of Partick Thistle was when I was a young kid driving by and it was Save the Jags. Listen, I grew up in Romulloch, so I'm local, known Partick Thistle my whole life. But the funny thing is, like, when I was 17, I think, it was actually Chip Charnley who got me a trial at Greenock Morton. You know, my dad got me a trial. I'd played pro youth with Clyde and stuff like that, and then I fell out with love with football, went back to play my boys' club, and then I was scoring lots of goals, got a trial with Morton, so it was official legend, actually got my kind of foot in the door. So it's quite fitting that I'm finishing my career at Partick Thistle after a legend like Chick Charlie got me when I started the game.
Definitely. And a question we ask everybody on the podcast, how many bites does it take you to eat a cream egg?
One? I could do that in one, no problem. No problem at all.
Would you do it in one, or would you not savour it?
No, I would probably bite it in half and then finish it.
But if push come to shove, push you could just gobble it, aye.
If push come to shove and you wanted me to do it in one, I could do it in one, no bother, but I would usually take two.
Well, hopefully when we win the cup on Sunday, you can gob a cream egg in celebration.
Perfect.
Just like an albatross.
Thank you for listening to this special episode of Draw, Lose or Draw. If you've enjoyed it, you can go back and listen to episode 181, A Day in the Life of PTWFC, detailing all of the effort from coaches, players and volunteers that goes into each women's fixture. Make sure you get along to Tynecastle on Sunday to give the girls your support. Tickets are still available online. And our thanks for this episode go to Tom Hosey, Vinnie Ferguson, Kieran Toohey, Rosie Slater, Ryan Graham and Craig Walker. In the meantime, stay safe.
Till the last day I am breathing, the place shall always come my home. Even when the rain is falling, we'll be back there soon on a Saturday afternoon. I never knew how much I loved you till you were gone. And when I surprised as we look behind and see the ghost of Lambie.
With a corner kick, over it comes, nicely placed, up go the heads, and it's stopped almost on the line, still not clear, down to Ray, and it's a goal! Ray scores for Crystal! McQuaid flicking it forward to Bowen, on to Laurie, edge of the box. Inside, right foot shot to the far side, and it's there! Laurie scores a sensational goal! Laurie with a corner, up go the heads, it's chance for Thistle, McQueen scores! Taken by Laurie, In comes Bourne. Walks the ball into the net. It's 4-0.